amazing how small. Mountain View, welcome to worship on this first Sunday of June. It is good to be with you, and there's sun, and there's so much to celebrate. And Lynn is going to tell us a few of the announcements, but I'll direct you to your bulletin so you can see all that is happening.
Good morning. I'll call your attention to one of the announcements in the bulletin, that everyone is invited to the family walk on the Bobolink Trail today at 1 o'clock p.m. and park your car at the East Boulder Rec Center and enjoy a very nice walk with other families. I also wanted to mention that Books at Lunch will not be meeting until August, and it's in your bulletin today, and I only mention that because last week it said it was meeting in June. Thank you.
And now, to gear you up for volunteering with Vacation Bible School, we have a bit of a video. I want to remind you that the sign-up sheets are out in the narthex. We have about 125 kids already signed up, which means there could be a whole much more just coming on the last day. So we need everybody's hands, take pictures, do registration, lead a couple workshops, whatever fits you. Larissa is great at making happen. So let's get excited together. Awesome. Look at all those dance moves that you can also learn. I mean, forget Zumba. Here you can be at Vacation Bible School and get your workout too. So lots of fun. I want to, again, welcome you all to worship. And we have a special gift for those who are new among us. We have popcorn for popping in. So are there any of you who brought friends or have a friend next to you that you might not know? I see you guys back there. Well, it's, again, great to have you, and we will continue to worship with our choral introit. Actually, let's just stand. Let's greet one another first, and then we'll sing.
Our congregational introit is number 103, if you'll please join us in that.
Immortal, invisible God.
We will have our opening hymn, number 77, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
You may be seated, and kids, I'll invite you to come forward and hang out with me for a second. I've got some pictures, so if you sit close, you can see them. So what I have here are two pictures of the students that we sponsor from Mountain View, and these kids are Guatemalan. Are you guys Guatemalan? No. What are you?
American.
American. Okay, great. Well, Eva, I was wondering, what does Edwin enjoy doing? Edwin is one of our students, and Sandra is one of our students. Do you know what that word is? Annie, can you help?
He enjoys drawing, reading, and soccer.
Drawing, reading, and soccer. Do any of you like drawing? Hands up. Yeah, brilliant. Any of you like reading? I really like reading. How about soccer? Anyone into soccer? Yes. Awesome. That's great. What about Sandra? Max, can you tell us, what does she like to do?
Sandra enjoys playing with dolls, playing Jackson, drawing. At home, she helps by cleaning the house, washing the dishes, and carrying water. Okay. At school, her favorite subjects are Spanish, English, and gym. As of November 2014, Sandra just finished second grade. Her birthday is October 29, 2004.
Cool. So I saw that she cleans the house. Do you clean the house?
No,
okay. Do any of you wash dishes?
No.
Sometimes, okay, you do, that's helpful. Any of you carry water from a well to your house?
No.
You do, okay. So, your mom has a well, that's pretty cool. So, with Edwin and Sandra, we recognize that there are things that we like to do that they like to do, right? And there are things that they have to do or that they do that we don't necessarily do. Do any of you speak Spanish really well?
No, I speak Pig Latin.
But you speak Pig Latin, so you're bilingual, just like Sandra is bilingual. Today in our scripture, we are talking about who Jesus is for. And Jesus was talking, he talked to lots of people, but it kind of came to this point where the people who were following Jesus was like, but who is really in your group? Like, who are your special people? He said, it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, if you speak Spanish or English, if you're Guatemalan or American, if you play soccer or carry water or like to draw or speak Pig Latin, I'm for all of you. I'm for all of you. And so when you see one another, maybe new friends this summer at swimming lessons or in camps at Vacation Bible School, you might meet people who do similar things to you and might do different things than you. But Jesus is for all of them. Can you say, Jesus is for us all? Jesus is for us all, okay? Including our friends, our brothers and sisters, even in Guatemala, okay? So let's pray together, and we can hold our hands like this. Dear God, thank you for all the children in America, in Guatemala, in Pig Latinville, and everywhere. Thank you for being for everyone. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen. All right. You can go back in color or head back to your seats. And I'm going to invite you to stand and sing with me our centering hymn.
Thank you. We asked that the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. And I just want you to know how delighted I was to read while we were away that you really stepped up with MAPRL and your giving. It's very gratifying as a congregation to see the strength and courage and faith in your gifts. Give as you're able for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Spirit that came upon us at Pentecost and continues to dwell among us all these days. Thank you for allowing us to speak in our own languages, but more importantly, that we might understand one another in our own languages. May these gifts be used. May they be used in languages to and with understanding that might build up your kingdom all around the world. We ask that you bless these gifts and the givers in all that they are. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation found on the screen and in your bulletin.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts
be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 through 28. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. We are delighted to return from our travels, first to Milwaukee, where we participated in our niece's graduation from Marquette University. And then we went to Nashville, and our nephew's giant Hindu wedding. Hindu wedding, 2 days, as he married the love of his life, Sunitha, in the Hindu temple. It's a great adventure, but I'm glad to be back home. And when we go to annual conference this coming week in Ogden, Utah, as you pray for your delegates to annual conference, I will be thinking of you, the local church, which is where my heart is, and how we might better serve you. Let us pray. God, you've prepared a place for us in the midst of life. You've opened the doors of hope and promise to us in the midst of struggle. We ask that you help us to rely on the unity of the Holy Spirit, to look deeply into the eyes one of another and see your presence and your love. In Christ we pray, amen. In our day and time, it seems that certain people will have us focus on all of our differences: race, gender, sexuality, national origin, different opinions. These are employed to separate us into discrete groups, I believe, for partisan purposes. Out of this separation, some feel that they can get the upper hand in human affairs. They feel that they can decipher how the world should be. They feel that they can get their way. But I ask the question, at what cost? For God, on the other hand, and in contrast, has a better place for us to stand. Our faith shows us another path. And Christianity maps out a different way for us to operate. When we are pulled to and fro in the partisan ways of this world, true faith draws us together in the journey of life. For we are far better off, I believe, under the sign of the cross and standing with Jesus and holding to the one true God than we can ever be following the world. Christian friends, unity is our banner. Connection is our cause, and gainsaying separation is thereby made completely obsolete. This is the genius of the Christian community, erasing social distinctions which divide society for worldly power and worldly gain. It's the only way that we might unite people who have different opinions under the banner of a shared humanity. We know that other approaches may work in the short run, but unity in the Holy Spirit wears far better as we build a society for the eye of our Creator. An alternate to the divisions of the world, the sacred community, in other words, lives under the grace and accountability of God. No longer Jew or Greek, progressive or conservative, no longer slave or free, right to life or pro-choice, the Christian conscience is free to pursue universal dignity. No longer even male and female, subservient or dominant, relationships are to be held to a higher standard of mutuality, shared power, and enhanced intimacy. Now, I'm not one to believe that all by itself Christianity can solve all the problems of the world, but I do believe that seeing God in one another's eyes can set the stage for resolving much of what egoism and selfishness spew out into the world each and every day. We visited Nashville. That's a country western Hall of Fame country, right? It is all about that part of our America. And there I remembered a song made popular first by the Judds. Do you know who I'm talking about? And the song is really, the refrain is very simple. I hope you learn it with me today. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? Oh, it's better than any of the Judds ever did, I'm sure. God has a different place for us to stand than what the world can offer. For God would ask us as Christian women and men, brothers and sisters, to build a bridge in the midst of struggle, in the midst of separation, in the midst of anxiety, a bridge between people based on the unity and love of God and nothing else. For no one is free to love when they're poised to take offense. No one is free to love when they're regulated to the edges of society. No one is free to love when they're siloed up to defend their own position and can't hear anything else. This is the flaw in most of our communications. You see, we're conditioned to listen to respond rather than listening to understand. And this leads to all kinds of unmitigated disaster. A couple was driving down a country road for several miles, and they weren't saying anything at all. You see, an earlier conversation had become a discussion, and the discussion became an argument. And at that point, neither one of them wanted to concede their position, and so they were quiet. They rolled down the road, and the husband saw on his side of the road a barnyard full of mules and goats and pigs, and he was so angry, he said, "Relatives of yours?" And she says, "Yeah, in-laws." So many ways to misunderstand. This same couple then went to attend a marriage seminar dealing with communication, listening to understand rather than listening to respond, which is what we most often do when we feel up against it. And the instructor said, it's essential that husbands and wives know the things that are important to each other. He addressed the man. "Sir, can you describe your wife's favorite flower?" And the husband leaned over and touched his wife's arm gently and whispered into her ear, "It's Pillsbury, isn't it?" The rest of the story gets kind of ugly, so I'm going to stop right there. There's so many ways for us to misunderstand each other. On our travels at one of the gift shops, I don't remember which one we visited, so many different places. It said, "I cannot make everyone happy." And then underneath it says, "I'm not bacon." So many ways. Expectations laid on people that they can't meet. Boneheaded statements, husbands to wives, wives to husbands. Relationships of people who really should get along but somehow can't find a way, because we're always listening to respond rather than listening to understand. That's the way of the world. But in the alternative, the unity of Christ, the history of the world has lurched toward a shared consciousness of divine concord. Not where everyone thinks exactly alike, but where everyone is encouraged to love alike. Even as John Wesley stated so many years ago, Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike? May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion? Without all doubt, we may. Herein, all the children of God may unite, notwithstanding these smaller differences. He was talking about people within the Christian community actually listening to one another, actually learning from one another, actually listening to understand and not just to respond. Love can build a bridge, and that's exactly where God calls us today to stand, between warring parties, between factions of family who don't get along, between neighbors who don't see eye to eye. Human strife calls us as Christian women and men to stand in the midst of that strife and build a bridge. You see, our unity and not our isolation are the key to our success. When unity has been understood as a shared spirit and not a tethered conscience, we have gone the furthest, my friends. When unity has been understood as a shared spirit and not a tethered mind, we have helped the most. We have felt the deepest. We have made the biggest contributions. When concord is grounded in Christ and not in factional maneuvering, heaven is reflected in our darkness and into the darkest corners of the world for the healing of the nations. And when unity of heart is sought and not unanimity of opinion, we have allowed room for the Holy Spirit to take root in our religion. And especially today, I believe that's where God would have us stand. Wherever we're headed, after church this Sunday, whether we're going to the Bobolink Trail to enjoy nature, whether we're going to volunteer soon for Vacation Bible School, whether we're going to get in cars and drive to annual conference, God wants us to have allowed room for the Holy Spirit to take root in our righteousness and in our relationships. This is the kind of unity and dynamic I believe that Paul is writing about in this letter to the Galatians when he says, all children of God through Christ Jesus are made one. No more race baiting, no more segregation, no more us versus them. We're in this thing together. No more dividing into haves and have-nots, but receiving with grace and giving out of love. I think that's the way Christ would reshape us into a people united in our shared humanity under God. For in our baptism, we become one with anyone who has hearkened to God's voice, who has clothed themselves in Christ's love, and are bathed in the humility of the Holy Spirit. Is this not at the center of Christ's teaching? And can we not, when we mature in our faith, come to see it that way? In Jesus, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. So we can't insist on having everything our own way, on unanimity of thought in the smaller things. We can't force others to agree. We can't insist on our own way. But we are called to tune our hearts to God and invite others to follow. I love the story of a young nun who claimed to have visions of Jesus, and so her bishop decided he would test her on all of this and ordered that the next time she had a vision of Jesus, she should ask Christ what the bishop's primary sin had been before he became a bishop. A couple of months passed, and the nun returned, and the bishop asked if she had asked Christ the question, "What was my primary sin before I became a bishop?" Rather sheepishly, he inquired. And what did he say? The nun paused for a moment, knowing that this was her bishop. Christ said, "I simply don't remember." There's another story about two boys. One was born in 1892 in Eastern Europe, and the other was born 3 years later in a small town in Illinois. And though they lived in very separate environments in very different parts of the world, these two altar boys had the most identical experiences. They both were invited by the parish priest to help in the service of Holy Communion. And when handling the cup, They both accidentally spilled some of the wine onto the carpet by the altar, and that's where the similarities of their stories end. The priest in the Eastern European church, seeing the purple stain, slapped the altar boy across the face, and he said, "Clumsy oaf, leave the altar." And that little boy grew up to become an atheist and a communist, and his name was Marshal Joseph Tito, dictator of Yugoslavia for 37 years. The priest in the church in Illinois, upon seeing the stain near the altar, knelt down beside the boy, looked at him tenderly right in the eyes and said, "It's all right, son. You'll do better next time." And that little boy grew up to become the much beloved Bishop Fulton Sheen. That's the gospel. We are drawn not by wrath, not by condemnation, but by God's love. God is love. God draws us by love. And when we tune our hearts to God's love, we can encounter the world the way God desires us to encounter it and build a bridge. As individuals, we are united in love to the will of the Father. And as church, we are more than our position on LGBTQ. And as persons, we're more than our position on marital equality or doctrinal purity. We are more than annual conference. We are more than local church. We're in this thing together. And we see the damage that is done by those who trade in division. And with the help of faith, we can choose a different path. Our divisions are not nearly as significant as our unity in Christ. And yes, that unity is based upon a generous theology of trust. A few Sundays ago, we celebrated in the life of the church Pentecost, in which we acknowledged the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's often then that we read Acts 2, which says, "Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene." This is the feared passage that every layperson thinks they're going to get to read and have to say those names. "Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring in our own native tongues the wonders of God. The sacred community bears witness with gratitude to the unifying grace of the Holy Spirit, which comes to us through Jesus Christ. Our faith teaches that our connection with each other and our witness to the world pivots upon our reliance on the Holy Spirit, of which the sacraments are a sign and a seal and an indication. And so we can't expect to go and do our own thing without the Holy Spirit and have some effect. We can't demand on having our own way and ignore the Holy Spirit, which allows us to listen to our neighbor and expect it to go well. God's word is the basis of our belief, but it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to be brothers and sisters together. Anglican priest and author John Stott has written of the importance of the unifying of the Holy Spirit of God in this way. Without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be impossible. He says we would have no understanding of spiritual things without the Spirit of truth. We could not enjoy Christian fellowship with one another without the unity of the Holy Spirit. We could never be effective Christian witnesses without the Spirit's power. In fact, he ends up with this: just as the body without breath is a corpse, so a church without the Holy Spirit is dead. We proclaim today a kingdom that is already here and not yet fully realized. To live in that tension between the ways of the world and the ways of faith, to live in the tension between an already here but not yet fulfilled kingdom, is a call to be always aware of where God is active and moving among us, to encounter with faith a world which is busy tearing itself apart. Requires us also to be aware where and when God is about to do a new thing in our midst. Love can build a bridge, but we have to leave room for that. Love can allow us to see brothers and sisters in their eyes connected through Christ, but love demands we leave room for that. God would have us join together at the center of our conflicts, in the midst of our relationships, in the broken places of the world, and build bridges between divided peoples. For to see the Lord in each other's eyes, to tune our hearts to love and understanding, this is the work of a Christian person. And it's the work of a people united in Christ's love and genuinely led by the Holy Ghost. In our day, some people would separate us into discrete groups for parochial power and political gain. But through our baptism, God has shown us another way. We are far better off under the sign of the cross, standing with Jesus and holding on to the one true God than the world could ever offer us with all of its promises and all of its noise. For unity is our banner. And gainsaying separation is thereby made utterly, utterly obsolete. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Sing with me. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? God's place for us is at the center. God's place for us is in the midst of life, building bridges between those who don't see eye to eye. The love and grace of Jesus Christ be with our church, with our leaders, with our members, with those who love God in every way around the world. Amen. The table of the United Methodist Church is open to everyone who seeks to live a new way in Jesus Christ. And we do have healing prayer partners who will be available to us after we receive communion. They'll be in this area over here to my right, your left, to be able to pray with you about any situation that you find the need. Christ our Lord invites all who love him and earnestly repent of their sins to seek and live in peace with their neighbor. And so let us offer our silent confession at this time. Christ died while we were all yet sinners, and this proved that God's love for us is greater than all of our brokenness and all the ways of the world. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
Dear God, it is a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give you thanks, Creator of heaven and earth. And we acknowledge Jesus, your anointed one, and are sustained in our journey of faith by your love and his example. We travel along in this hope and love, a journey of discovery and gratitude. In your sacrifice and our baptism, in your unity and our sojourning, let us experience your grace, and so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word manifest in flesh. Consecrate these gifts of cup and bread to your service, Almighty God, for you have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts and revealed a divine unity. Through the Holy Spirit, set us free from the bondage of sin. Grant us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that all people may be brought to this glorious liberty of the children of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Himself up for us. Jesus took bread and gave thanks to you, O God, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup of blessing and he gave thanks to you, O God, gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. O Lord, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. For you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace, therefore, to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore.
Lift up our voices one to share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please come at your usher's direction to receive the elements. If you're coming to help with the service of Holy Communion, please come on forward at this time. And we have gluten-free on my left, your right, as well as a prayer partner.
Thank you.
Holy God, with thankful hearts, we remember the unity of the Holy Spirit. We remember your presence with us day to day. We ask that you bless us with open hearts and open minds and open doors, that all who love you, O God, through their baptism may come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise as we sing our closing hymn. With us today in all the corners of the world, may we seek his unity of spirit, looking deeply into the eyes of brothers and sisters and seeing Christ there. And may God's love change us and change the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.